Insights on the Middle East with author and academic Avi Yorish.
So you liked that song, did you, Avi?
It's one of my favorites. I got to tell you, memories bring back memories, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm so surprised. I don't know why I'm surprised, because it kind of makes sense, but I don't know. I know you in one context only. So, yeah, that's interesting. Avi, just purely out of interest, before we get to talk about COVID-19 and ecological environmental impacts, are you in lockdown wherever you are?
So I'm in Washington, D.C., and we are in a kind of lockdown, yes. Although I will tell you that many people in this city are not taking it seriously. I'm staring out my window now, and I'm looking at the House and the Senate office buildings. Out my window, I can see the Capitol Dome. Some people are walking around with masks. Some people are not. My children are being homeschooled. They've been at home for 3 weeks. We've been in quarantine for 3 weeks. You're seeing the city feels dead. So I would say one of the world's most powerful cities has a lot less juice in it. And most people are staying home, but we do have pockets of people that are out partying and not taking it seriously. The authorities are saying that Washington D.C. might be one of the next hotspots for COVID-19. Deaths and just a lot of sick people, unfortunately.
I find that really quite remarkable. I have a sister in New York City. Maybe it's distance that makes it worse. I don't know. But reading what this disease is doing, what this virus is doing to New York City is just frightening. I mean, just, Avi, do people just not, not be worried being up the road?
So let's put this in perspective. Last weekend, someone died in Manhattan every 10 minutes. And what we're seeing is, from one of my clients in China, he said to me, look, you in the West are where we were right now on January 15th. You are in for a very black 3 months. Keep your children at home. Don't go out. Be very careful. Exercise, sleep, but from home, because what's happened to us is coming to you. And I took that very, very seriously. And I have to tell you, I'm surprised that more people are not taking this seriously. In the United States, we still have internal flights that are flying, which surprises me. We have a few international flights going in and out still. And the cities that are going to get the most badly hit are those cities with major international airports and that have very dense population centers, like New York, like Philadelphia, like Washington, D.C., Chicago, Seattle, San Francisco, Mexico City, Buenos Aires. These are places that we are going to see COVID-19 really wreak major, major havoc in the weeks and months ahead.
I'm going completely way off topic here, but it's just interesting. The Mayor Cuomo, or not quite Governor, what's his name? He's making a really good impression on many of us around the world.
It's because he's taken this very, very seriously. He understands the magnitude of this, and he's protecting the citizens of the city of New York City and New York State in general. They've basically gone on the offensive to secure masks, to secure ventilators. They have a very robust website to actually bring in suppliers from all over the world to help assist in the effort to fight Corona COVID-19 and really help the citizens of New York City and New York State really bring this at bay. Now look, most of us tend to think about bringing it back onto the topic. Most of us tend to think of the negative ramifications of COVID-19, that this pause is having on our daily lives. But the truth of the matter is, it's not all bad. And I want to talk about three or four different items that makes the picture a little less gray. So one, we are seeing a tremendous, in terms of global improvement in air quality, we are seeing for the first time in many, many years, a drop in air pollution. In many parts of the world. Let's just take China, for example. NASA last week discovered that in the Hubei province, where the coronavirus broke out in December, we're seeing a tremendous reduction in the air pollution quality. And then in addition to that, the number of lives that have actually been saved as a result of the drop in air pollution has actually been quite large. Stanford University came out last week and said that as a result of this, we've saved about 4,000 children under the age of 5 and 73,000 adults over the age of 70. And even a few more conservative estimates would basically say that it's 20 times the number of people that have died from the coronavirus have actually lived as a result. Now, I don't mean to suggest that a pandemic is a good thing for health, and I don't mean to be glib, but this calculation, I think, is a very useful reminder of the health consequences of the status quo. And we are seeing positives come out of this very, very negative period. We could talk about greenhouse emissions, and we could talk about the fact that really from the airline's perspective, the fact that they're not flying is a reduction in kind of the emissions that that airplanes emit over the course of their day, and really does provide a health benefit to the planet. Now, on the downside, what we often don't think about is the mountains of waste that is being created as a result of Corona. Let's talk about Starbucks. Starbucks has now stopped accepting reusable cups from its customers and is only allowing drinks in their disposable single-use cups that are not yet recyclable. So that clearly is not great for the planet. And think about all these one-time disposable masks that are basically being dumped. You know, you use it and then you dump it, and they're now going to basically fill up the land masses, the land dumps of the world. So we're seeing both upside and downside in terms of air quality, in terms of green, in terms of airline emissions, in terms of greenhouse emissions. So we're seeing some good, some bad, and some ugly.
Yeah, I must say, take yourself 6 months past all this and we look back. Are we going to be living in a very different world, Avi?
You know, we talked about this in last week's show. We're seeing already countries like Singapore, Korea, China, and Israel implement some very robust electronic monitoring. And I do wonder, are any of us ever going to go to, well, 6 months from today, when we all go to a restaurant, yes. I suspect that restaurants are going to take out half of their tables so that people can have a little bit more distance. And then the price of going to a restaurant is going to go up. Flights. I don't know that we're ever going to be able to sit like sardines again. I wonder if they're going to actually space out airplanes a little bit more. Question of what happens, something as mundane as going to the gym. Are they going to basically count the number of people that go to a gym and you have to maintain social distancing? I don't know. What does it look like? I mean, something again is like crazy as dating apps. What does that look like again in the future? Do you actually need to scan someone to make sure that they don't have temperature? I don't know.
It's really interesting what you're saying. I've been doing a lot of reading on the world post the virus, and many people raise the issue that you've just raised with me now, this concept of personal space, how having lived through this, it's going to indelibly have changed it for our lifetimes.
Let's not get all this out of proportion. It all depends on how long this lasts. If this lasts, and I basically put it into perspective of my children. If my children get to go to school in September, I think all of us are going to forget about this fairly quickly, and the global economy will bounce back relatively quickly. If our children are still not in school in September, I tend to think that we are going to have a whole different level of economic consequences on our hands, because parents are still not going to be able to really work full time. Our children are still going to be at home, and the economy will not bounce back for quite some time. We've had a few of these things happen over the last 20, 30, 40 years, and barely we don't remember SARS, for example, or the swine flu. None of us really remember it. And so I'm not so quick to say that our lives are indelibly changed forever. Certainly this global pause is interesting, but I am not yet convinced that our lives are fundamentally going to change.
I'm going to take you up on that one, and I'm going to tell you that from my experience of visiting Cape Town in December, when it was the first city in the world that was going to run out of water, it was such a bizarre experience that it changed the way one felt about water forever. There is no ways I could brush my teeth now with a tap running, which is perhaps something I could have done before. So I just think that some of these things do have remarkable effects on people. But Avi, let's wait and see. It'll be very interesting to watch.
This too shall be revealed, Simon. This too shall be revealed.
I mean, we're not going to get to talk to you before Pesach, so Chag Sameach to you.
Chag Sameach, and to you and yours.
As weird as it's going to be this year.
Well, yeah. As we think about that holiday, it really is it's the holiday of exiting slavery and moving towards freedom. And as the world kind of makes this global pause, we ought to really think about what can we do to put in place that is going to put ourselves in humanity and the planet in a better position. Like, how do we attack food security, water security, AI, space? There are grand global challenges, and each of us is in a position to move the dial on those issues. And Passover is a wonderful reminder of that. We really do have the great privilege and the obligation to make the world a better place.
What a beautiful place to leave it. Avi Yurish, Chag Sameach. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Chag Sameach.